Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil. Advocates radio show. I had to think what I'm doing here. Doing a little radio show with you, the fair people. And I see what you're wearing, Fancy Brian. I'm not even acknowledging the date on the calendar. I'm not one of those guys. You clearly are, man. Happy May the 4th be with you day.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, you enjoy it. Different directions, though. I'm not going there. Evan. Welcome to you as well. Lightly screening the calls here in Madison. I had almost forgotten the day on the calendar. I saw it as I was, pushing a little message out to the fine listeners about what this big show could be about. Glad you tuned in. Couple of things. The GOP in this country, they're freaking extreme. They are extreme. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, calling them out today. We're going to share that sound in just a little bit. And the reaction to the reported news that Roe v. Wade's going to be overturned. Well, I noted that the righties were outraged at the leak. Not what this may, foretell for women, but at the leak. But I noticed a lot of righties today are mocking the women that would react emotionally as, not sexually attractive to them anyways. Yeah, I thought it was a very mature attitude. That's a great electoral strategy, GOP. I've got to find an investigative journalist joining me a little later in this big hour. She is Charlotte Dennett. She is the author of a book, Follow the Pipelines, Uncovering the Mystery of a Lost Spy and the Deadly Politics of the Great Game for Oil. Why is this pertinent? Ukraine. We're going to talk about that. Also, Election Day in the state of Ohio yesterday, and I was a fine Foxy News contributor on Sunday on this very topic. I don't know why they chose and asked me to, talk about the Ohio Senate race, other than the fact that yesterday was primary day, and the detestable J.D. Vance, the Trump-endorsed J.D. Vance, although he couldn't quite remember the guy's name, Vance won the hard-fought, hard-scrabble Republican primary, as did Tim Ryan, my preferred candidate, the Democrat in the state of Ohio. And why is that pertinent for those listing outside the state of Ohio? Well, that's the battle for the U.S. Senate. And Rob Portman was a moderate Republican, sort of an old-school Republican from Ohio, and Ohio's other senator, Sherrod Brown. So that state has elected a progressive. And it's a fairly populist Tim Ryan, who did run for the presidency, is a current congressman from the state of Ohio, against a Trump-endorsed hedge fund billionaire wannabe, who also wrote the book Hillbilly Elegy. And apparently, has been striving celebrity ever since. So we'll talk about that race. But I want to start today by telling a couple of friends, or at least apologizing. I had a friend of mine call me this morning, bright and early. Like, I normally get to the office by 9. It doesn't mean I'm not up doing my show prep, but I get to the office at 9. But 9:01, my phone's ringing, and a friend of mine told me she was a little miffed that I wasn't more angry on yesterday's program. More angry in my response, in my reaction to the news of Roe v. Wade. And if you feel that's the case, if I didn't show the proper amount of emotion, I apologize. It's not that I'm not angry, but so often, and I do this little radio show and it makes me a skosh, narcissistic, a little self-centered. Yeah, I'm living my life on the radio. I'm telling you about it. And there are so many times, you know, I'm looking for the crudy-centric angle on the news. Well, you know what? This story was not about me. And I didn't want to pretend it was about me. And if I didn't come off as angry, you know, if your progressive friend Crudy, who you turn to for outrage at times, if he didn't express your outrage, it's only because I didn't want to steal the attention from where it deserved to be. And the outrage should be on the ruling or on this, you know, ruling in the making. And I tell you what, our pal Maggie Dawn yesterday, if you missed her, she was part of the entire 4 o'clock hour. And then she stuck around about half the 5 o'clock hour. And in 90 minutes, I don't think she repeated herself. I think she gave you a tremendous legal breakdown, a human breakdown. I could sense her emotion because I know her well. She's a friend. But it was a hell of an interview. And not because I did anything special other than get out of her way. Because yesterday was about my friend Maggie and about this ruling, this overturning of Roe v. Wade. And if there's anything I wouldn't want you, our audience, my audience, however you want to look at it, if there's anything I want from the audience, you know, apparently some want for me a little more outrage. Well, yeah, I'm angry. Don't get me wrong. I'm angry, folks. But it's got to take more than Crudy's outrage on the radio. This is a point of action for the American people, for you. You've got to do something. I mean, Crudy can get fired up on the radio damn near every day. I wake up smiling, and then something wrecks it for me. But on this fight, on this abortion fight, we truly need to engage. There's a great column, Paul Waldman at the Washington Post. But for a change, I want to hear from the Vice President of the United States. Kamala so rarely gets a front and center, and today she did. And today she was fired up. And I want to play the Vice President for the audience. Brian, going to need your help. Let's start with cut number 20. This, a direct assault on freedom.
If the court overturns Roe v. Wade, it will be a direct assault on freedom.
Let's keep going. 21.
There is nothing hypothetical about this moment.
Well, she gives us an action plan. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, cut 22, please.
This fight requires the work of this very organization, Emily's List, to elect pro-choice Democrats to Congress.
And I have no doubt that there are many pro-choice candidates in the state of Wisconsin. But the one that Emily's List endorsed is Sarah Godlewski. I just point that out. Because another Senate pickup that we really, really need is the one against Ron Johnson right here in the great state of Wisconsin. More from the Vice President earlier today. Let's do cut number 23.
How dare they tell a woman what she can do and cannot do with her own body? How dare they? How dare they try to stop her from determining her own future? How dare they try to deny women their rights and their freedoms?
Well, I feel it, sister, but I'm certainly not going to try and get out there and steal the limelight more deserved by a Maggie Dawn or a Vice President Kamala Harris. More from the VP. Right to privacy, cut 24.
When the right to privacy is attacked, anyone in our country may face a future where the government can interfere with their personal decisions.
A little bit more from the Vice President. Cut 25, please.
You know, some Republican leaders, they want to take us back to a time before Roe v. Wade, back to a time before Obergefell v. Hodges, back to a time before Griswold v. Connecticut. But we're not going back. We are not going back.
And I believe the vice president eloquently put this when she said, effectively, women's issues are America's issues. One more from the VP. Cut 26, please.
Women's issues are America's issues. And democracies cannot be strong if the rights of women are under attack.
And they are. And they are. Now, I certainly hope this is an inflection point for the electorate. And I'm not sure what we should do. I know we should certainly vote. I know that we should be activated and engaged. I try to do that each and every day right here on the radio. You know, both personally with you, talking to you, telling you about my life, being a little Crudy-centric, but also through the work I do off the radio. And I can tell you, I am not without action plan. And I've been busting my ass. What you can't see me doing right now, I'm working way harder off the radio than I've been working on the radio. I'm sorry if I'm mailing it in these last couple of days. But there is a plan in action. And I have pointed towards this possible ruling, this predicted, this overturning of Roe v. Wade. And of course, it's not reality yet, but it's certainly not a hypothetical. It's a reality soon. It's not an if, but a when. So you better be ready for what's coming, America. And you better be ready to react in this elective cycle. Wake up our brothers, our sisters, people that care about women, and people that realize this is a very extreme Republican Party. This ain't Grandpa's Republican Party. This is a Republican Party that targets women in a very clear and definite way. This was their intent. They're praying for this. Well, anyways, we're going to fight fire with fire. Yeah, Pat Benatar, she's all fired up. She joined the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her and Dolly Parton and Dancing on the Ceiling guy.
Lionel Richie, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I know, he's got other Commodore song. I saw him play at Summerfest. He was great. But anyways, I will get all fired up. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates, get all fired up on the phones. 844-967-2789.
The more you tighten your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
It's a trap!
Yeah, I feel like I'm being Rickrolled right now. You know, of all the wonderful Commodore songs, you know, my favorite song perhaps ever, at least party song, Brick House, man. You could have played Brick House instead.
There's plenty more show left. I have plenty more songs. And let's not pretend I don't have this ready to go in the next couple segments or so. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Okay.
I got you. I know you. I got you.
Okay, fancy brain. I'll trust you. Just lighten up on the Star Wars, big guy. Real quick. I'm just not with you. I don't feel that movement of the force today. Let's stay on topic. Help me. Democrats need to truly engage the abortion fight. Paul Waldman, a columnist at the Washington Post. It may sound crass to react to the news that the Supreme Court seems close to overturning Roe v. Wade by asking how it will or should affect the midterm elections and the 2024 presidential race. Well, I've already crassly asked that of myself. But the reality is the most important factor in determining whether abortion rights will continue to exist in America is whether Democrats can win more elections. And as Waldman writes, and there's a real danger, they're going to mess this up. There are any number of ways that could happen, but they all trace back to some deep-seated beliefs about abortion politics and public opinion, one that stops Democrats from being as aggressive and forceful as they should. If they want to win, they have to get over their timidity and go on the attack. If ever a political development deserved a furious backlash, I heard you, Darcy, it was this one. But it won't happen unless people, including Democratic politicians, make it happen. You know who understands that better than Democrats do? Republicans. And they're doing everything they can to dissipate the controversy. Calm things down. Divert attention. Look over there, shiny object. From the horrors they gleefully prepare to rain down on American women. It's why the Republican Senate campaign arm sent out a memo advising them not to talk about what they've done and what they actually want to do. Oh, they apparently are telling their own. Be a compassionate consensus builder. Consensus builder on abortion policy. Democrats can't let them get away with that. Unfortunately, Democrats have long been skittish about talking about abortion. They often can't bring themselves to utter the word, which only reinforces the idea. It's something to be ashamed of. They talk about reproductive rights or the right to choose, which are abstractions that don't accomplish what they need right now, which is for people to get mad. What's the other way to do it? By getting more concrete and vivid and confronting Republicans on the facts of what their policies would do. More like will do, Paul Waldman. What do you think Republicans fear more? A Democrat who says you'd take away reproductive rights, or one who says you would force a 12-year-old rape victim to bear a child for her rapist? Because that is what is at stake here. Every Republican should be asked what they'd say to the 12-year-old rape victim. Every Republican should be asked how much time they think women should serve in jail for having abortions. They should also be asked whether they are coming for birth control next, because that is what many in the anti-abortion movement want to do. They falsely believe birth control pills and IUDs are abortifacients and therefore should be outlawed. I don't know how many Republican candidates agree with that. I don't know how many favor the national abortion ban activists are planning to push for. But since every Democrat running for Congress apparently must answer questions about defund the police, an idea almost no Democrat actually supports, shouldn't every Republican everywhere be asked if they want to arrest women who get abortions and outlaw birth control? We know that Republican-run states are already working on horrifying, draconian abortion laws, many of which will pass in the coming months. Republicans everywhere, especially in swing states, you know, like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia, where there are tight races this year, should be forced to answer questions about whether they're planning the same thing. GOP extremism can and should be a critical factor in this year's elections, not only on abortion, but on a range of issues, including election denial. Yeah, that one's been sticking in Crudy's craw the whole time. And we've seen plenty of instances in the past where a Republican lost a winnable race by saying something so freaking crazy that voters recoiled in disgust. In fact, many of those cases had to do with rape and abortion. You think it's an accident that when Republicans get asked whether they support rape and incest exceptions to the abortion bans they favor, they skitter away like roaches when you turn on the kitchen light? When they do answer the question, it becomes hugely controversial. We saw that in Ohio, where State Rep. Gene Schmidt, who is known as Mean Gene in Congress, said that if a hypothetical 13-year-old was raped and got pregnant, carrying her rapist baby to term would be an opportunity. It got huge press coverage. Democrats also shouldn't decide that because opinions on abortion haven't moved much in the aggregate over decades, that means you can't change how people see it in relation to their votes. While highly engaged people on both sides have fixed ideas about abortion, there are millions whose beliefs are complicated and cross-pressured. They may think abortion should be legal in the first few months, but not after. And for some reasons, but not others. But the emerging GOP consensus that abortion should be illegal in virtually all cases, even after rape and incest, is spectacularly unpopular and makes Republicans look like just the extremists Democrats say they are. Democrats have to make them pay the price for what they've done and what they plan to do. If they don't, our future will be more disturbing than anything we've imagined. Paul Waldman at the Washington Post. We'll get fired up. We're going to stay fired up all the way from here to the midterms and beyond. Because until this is codified into federal law, because here in the state of Wisconsin, we are completely screwed. Roe v. Wade gets overturned. It would be illegal in the state of Wisconsin to have an abortion. And the redistricting, the gerrymandering has baked Republican leadership in for a decade. You want solutions? It's only coming legislatively from the federal government. More devils.
My party is going bat crazy.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the Hump Day edition, right? Can't seem to get my calendar straight. I'll have to check my notes. Expecting a fine journalist, Charlotte Dennett, D-E-N-N-E-T-T. She's written a book, Follow the Pipelines, and she's got another book, wanting to talk a little Ukraine, Russia policy, if you know what I'm saying. So hopefully she's joining us very, very shortly. But I want to stay on this topic, at least the lead, and it might be the lead of many of the shows we do going forward between here and the midterms. But the predicted overturning of Roe v. Wade, obviously this is troubling. And I know many of our listeners are troubled. And it's not just a women's issue. And when my friend brought that to my attention and said, Crudy, it's not just a women's issue. Why are you not outraged? I am outraged. Sisters, I am outraged. If I'm not screaming and yelling from the rooftops on this issue, it's only because I don't want to pretend like this is a man-first issue. That's my only hesitancy. So let's play some sound of the president. We played the vice president. We played Kamala. Let's play President Joe Biden on this very same topic. President Joe, cut number 10. What's next?
What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
And as Joe points out, the nature of the ruling, at least the draft ruling from the Supreme Court, and their intent to overturn Roe v. Wade was, you know, predicated on the fact that, you know, it's not specifically enumerated in the Constitution that people should have this right. Well, by that standard, there's a lot of other rights, quote unquote, that could get rolled back. Joe Biden took note of that. Cut number 11, Fancy.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children?
Well, what would happen in that circumstance? More from President Biden. And I think he's also gotten the memo. It's time to get a little fired up. Biden, cut 12.
What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
Recent American history. I've got a little more coverage from the president today. TheHill.com. Biden seeks to paint the GOP as extreme. Morgan Chalfant reporting, again, at The Hill. President Biden, in his speech Wednesday, assailed Republicans for embracing what he described as an extreme agenda. Yeah, I think there's a lot of extreme parts of their agenda. Seeking to contrast the GOP's economic vision for the country with his own, and perhaps his most pointed criticism of Republicans ahead of the midterm elections. Well, we got 6 months, Joe. Plenty more days to, you know, point some criticism. Biden zeroed in on the 11-point plan to rescue America. Blueprint offered by Senator Rick Scott, that Republican from Florida. You know, kind of looks like Skeletor. Who chairs the National Republican Senatorial Committee, arguing that Republicans are in favor of raising taxes on middle-class Americans. Here's a quote from Biden. Let me tell you about this ultra-MAGA agenda. It's extreme, as most MAGA things are. Biden said in remarks at the White House, seeking to tie the plan to former President Trump's Make America Great Again tagline. Biden said Scott's plan, which has notably not been embraced by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, you know who does like it quite a bit, though? Ron Johnson. Yeah, Ron loves this plan. He loves this plan, this, you know, tax the working class. You know, get a little skin in the game for the poor, the working poor. They're not taxed enough.
Finally get them to pay their fair share.
Yeah, about time, though. Anyways, before I sarcastically characterize them as Ron Johnson and confuse a few of you, I'll continue with the reporting. Scott's plan does not explicitly call for an end to Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, but it does propose a sunset on all federal legislation every 5 years that would force Congress to reauthorize important programs. Biden said, I think it's truly outrageous. I've offered a different plan, a plan rooted in American values of fairness and decency. Yeah, that's not so much in the Republican plans these days. There is no fairness or decency. Just win at any cost. Now, Biden outlined his proposal to pay for his domestic climate and social spending package by raising taxes on the wealthy. You know what? That's a very popular proposition, even amongst Republicans. You know, we share that with our Republican friends. We think that everyone should pay their fair share, not just the working poor. You know, the Rick Scott Ron Johnson plan. A little bit more. He, being Biden, also touted his efforts to reduce the federal deficit. Now, here's what Biden said again today. I don't want to hear Republicans talk about deficits and their ultra mega agenda. I want to hear about fairness. I want to hear about decency. I want to hear about helping ordinary people. The revamped message comes as Democrats grapple with surging inflation ahead of the midterm elections. Yeah, that's not the only problem, though. Just pointing it out, Hill. Biden's low approval numbers and high voter frustration about elevated prices in the COVID-19 pandemic have many Democrats bracing for losses in November. Really? Even in light of this very historic leaking of the news that Roe v. Wade's going to be overturned? That's not going to turn this election cycle whatsoever. You know, you still got guys believing on the right. Red wave, red wave's coming. Oh, it's coming. There's a red wave of sorts coming, I strongly suspect. And despite the White House's best efforts, back to the Hill reporting, Biden has been unable to get the Senate Democrats to unify around and pass his domestic proposal to address climate change and expand social programs, especially to the chagrin of Elizabeth Warren. Scott responded to Biden's comments on Foxy News, you know, the most credible news source for Republican counterpoints, went to the Foxy News and accused Biden of misrepresenting his plan while criticizing the president for not mentioning inflation during his address. Almost every sentence was a complete lie, Scott said. You know, how dare you try to hold me accountable with these lies? Democrats have embraced Scott as a villain ahead of the midterms. Did I mention he looks like Skeletor? Referencing his 11-point plan in speeches and political advertisements, and the White House has sought to draw a contrast with the Republican agenda for the economy, which is what? Screw poor people? What, that's not a winner? A little bit more, including by attacking Scott's plan, but Biden often resists, like my mouth did there, resists leaning into attacks on Republicans. Instead, the president often prioritizes a more unifying message. I less so. A practice that has been on display as his administration seeks bipartisan response to the Russian war in Ukraine. As such, Biden extended criticism of what he called the MAGA agenda was a notable departure from his usual rhetoric. It's likely to please some Democrats, yeah, I like it, Joe, who have urged Biden to get tougher on the GOP. It echoed remarks by the president recently made during an appearance on a trip out west. And Biden even returned to the criticism in a response to a reporter's question about a recent leaked Supreme Court draft opinion on abortion. Here is what Joe had to say in response. We're the next things that are going to be attacked because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that has existed in American history, in recent American history. Yeah, probably. And I want to point out how some of the Republicans have reacted to the news. You know, there is a proposal that was put out there on The View. And I know, righty whiteys, they hate The View, and especially if you can hate anybody, hate you some Joy Behar. Well, I got a little Joy Behar sound. We'll save it for a little bit later in the show. But I did want to point out there was some response from the right. Guys like Matt Gaetz, you know, because I know you're all thinking, what's Matt Gaetz think about the rolling back of Roe v. Wade? Seems to be a sexually active young man, sometimes pays for it, you know, via Venmo, reportedly. Don't even have to say allegedly in this case. Here is what the Raw story is reporting about GOP soon-to-be-indicted Matt Gaetz. Some pro-abortion protesters are overeducated, underloved women. Underloved. A little bit from this article. They're not at all extreme, Fancy Brian. I don't know why they would say that. A Florida U.S. Rep. Matt Gaetz took to Twitter to discredit women who rallied Tuesday in support of abortion rights as overeducated and underloved. At 6:20 a.m. Wednesday, he tweeted, "How many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials who sadly returned from protest to a lonely microwave dinner with their cats and no Bumble matches?" Well, Fancy Brian, we're a couple of married guys, but you may not know, Bumble is a common dating app on smartphones. I did not know that. I think I'd heard of it. Florida women and abortion rights advocates gathered and protested across the state of Florida Tuesday following a leaked U.S. Supreme Court draft opinion, indicating that justices of the high court will likely overturn nearly a half-century-old landmark case, you know, Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion. Gaetz is a Republican who represents areas in the most western part of the Florida panhandle. You know, that's way over by, like, Thomasville, Georgia, a heavily red voting district. The U.S. representative is currently, and I don't know if we've reminded the audience of this lately, Fancy Brian, but Rep. Gaetz is currently under federal investigation for allegedly engaging in a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. In connection with former Seminole County tax collector, his wingman, Joel Greenberg, who pled guilty to sex trafficking charges of a minor, among other charges. And apparently Greenberg is a cooperating state's witness, perhaps against soon-to-be-indicted Matt Gaetz. Reportedly, not allegedly, reportedly, Gaetz was also accused by state rep Chris LaTavola of creating a point system game about House members' sexual conquest within the Florida Capitol, according to the Sun Sentinel back in 2020. That original reporting, I found it at the Raw story, originally came from the Florida Phoenix, part of State's Newsrooms Network. So, there was that, and there was the reaction on right-wing talk radio. And I listened to the reaction of righty-whitey talk radio host Clay and Buck. You know, and if you miss those two, boy, aren't they charming. And they filled the middle of the dial now, or at least the middle of the day, on Righty Whitey Talk on many stations across the country, the old Rush Limbaugh spot. And I remember Rush Limbaugh, he had his moments with Sandra Fluke, calling a Georgetown University law school student, I believe, who testified at the U.S. Congress, talking about the need for birth control, not just for, you know, trying to not become pregnant, but also in certain medical cases. And I believe Rush Limbaugh, the former holder of that spot, called her a slut. She's a slut. And said effectively, you know, if we, the American people, through our tax dollars, are forced to pay for the birth control of this slut, and apparently it's Rush's impression that you take a birth control pill, like, every time you want to have sex, so, like, more sex costs more. No, that's Viagra Rush. You know, you were accused of taking Viagra into a foreign country, one not on your subscription. Now someone else's script. Kind of like you had Consuela bringing you the oxys. Well, anyways, we'll come back. We'll talk about what Clay and Buck, those two fine gents from down south, how they sort of mocked women. And, most certainly, they mocked Joy Behar. And I know she's not a favorite of the right, but, you know, they did so in a fashion that implied. Well, anyways, I'll tell you all about it. You got to come back, though. More Devil's Advocates.
I surround myself with fools.
Fair is fair. We didn't start this. We didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair.
Warning. Listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Let's call it the No Hump Wednesday edition. Now, briefly, yesterday during the big show, I suggested maybe we should have a sex strike. And this is not an independent thought. I'm not the first one to ever come up with this bright idea. In fact, there is a historical context. Sex strikes, they've been utilized with some impact. And Joy Behar, who is one of the panelists on The View each and every day, you know, they would describe her as a raving liberal over on Fox News and most other right-wing talk radio sites, like where I heard Clay and Buck referencing her today. Well, first, let's share the sound. They played similar sound. I know that our own Evan Ebone did the hard work, so let's play the sound of Joy Behar from earlier today on The View. Play it for the people. I believe it's cut 30. Sex strike.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war. Yes, and the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes. In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government. Okay? We have more power than we think we have, and some of it could be right in the bedroom.
Well, that was Joy Behar, and, you know, doesn't seem like a completely irrational notion at this time in history. And she even had some historical context, right? I'm thinking, well, you may disagree with her, but this is not some crazy, unrationed thought. Hal Crudy had a similar thought. I think Fancy Brian might have had a few thoughts.
Well, the Greeks, man, they have a play. It's called Lysistrata. It was a comedy back then, and the idea has been around since the ancient Greeks. And they actually, if you're interested in watching Chirac, the Spike Lee joint, it's based on Lysistrata as well. Same principle, same idea.
You know, that was actually referenced. They thought they were very smart, like you, Fancy Brian, for knowing that reference. But this thought that it would be proposed by Joy Behar, well, I bet, you know, the happiest man in America, according to Clay and Buck, is Mr. Joy Behar. And of course, the other thing that they just laughed to themselves mostly, I suspect, is, well, you know, it's really just going to be blue state women who withhold this sex from their already meek husbands, you know, who don't have a pair because, of course, they married a liberal woman and she doesn't let them. That's toxic masculinity, the mere thought of sex. And I'm thinking, really? Because as near as I can tell, and I've actually read some statistical studies on this, like Republicans shut themselves down at a certain age. Stop having sex. Like, I'm done. Like 70. Done. I'm not saying every single one, but the vast majority. Liberals? Oh, no. We're horny till we die. I know I am. I'm just saying, you know, broadly, that seems to be our thing. And to the best of my knowledge, it's not quote-unquote liberals that have big hang-ups over sex. Hell, it's just the opposite. I mean, God forbid some transsexual woman might use a unisex bathroom at a sporting event where Clay Travis's, you know, little league-age kid might be using the same bathroom, you know. And I'm thinking, really? Is this what you worry about at night? Is this the most important thing in America, that you might be embarrassed by someone else's sexuality? And hell, you might have to explain it to your kid for 2 minutes.
I walked, when I was in the airport, I walked by a unisex bathroom. Everything worked out fine. Everybody there was okay. It worked out just fine. Nobody was protesting. Nobody had to explain anything. They just said, go to the bathroom, let's leave. Bye.
I think I mentioned, I used the unisex bathrooms in Philadelphia, initially at the DNC, at the DNC convention. That was the policy there. And, you know, the only thing that was difficult for me, Fancy Brian, is I just wasn't used to, as I wanted to go wash my hands, so many women doing the makeup in the mirror. It just is not an experience I'd ever had before.
Every morning.
Well, see, you know, my wife gives me a break by letting me take a shower and taking the boys to school. And then, you know, she does what she does. But anyways, it didn't really freak me out. And it seems very much to me like it's really conservatives that get all caught up over sex. They're the ones that so often have the kinks, or, you know, these skeletons in their closets, or the teenage boys. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really, to me, seem like it's Democrats that have a big problem with sexuality. They just think that other people's human anatomy and autonomy should be respected. That shouldn't be such a difficult concept. But if I'm a believer in a book, then my belief in this book and the wisdom it imparts, the Bible, of course, I'm referencing. This is not the Bible I hold here, but it was a book. But if I'm a believer and I believe strongly enough in this book, that I get to dictate your body to you through law, through government. And, you know, I know Dominic, you know, gets a bug in his bonnet over anything in regards to religion, any sort of dictate mandate that religion is context of. But, you know, you got to kind of agree with the guy in this case. There is no way to justify any of this crap except through religion. And of course, religion, we're supposed to have a separation between church and state in this nation. You know, you want to build a wall, build it between the church and the state. Fancy, I can see you got something on your mind.
Oh, no, I was just mocking doing the Tucker Carlson face, like the huh? The what? Separation of church and state? What is this?
Well, of course, that's not the history as they remember it, or they've learned it, or they tell it.
You'd think they're originalists, right? You'd think that's the number one thing they'd know, is the primary thing is separation of church and state. One of the big things for the founding fathers. I just figure they might want to remember that.
Well, it's interesting to me, and Alito, in this opinion that's, you know, upset so many apple carts, Alito references the historical context behind abortion and goes to, what, English common law 1736 and a prohibition against abortion that predates the Declaration of Independence. And I'm guessing it's probably not predicated on the medical viability of the fetus. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You're right to be outraged. You're right to be a little upset. And mostly, you're right to call us at 844-967-2789. I may be looking at the wrong day on the calendar. I thought I had a few fine guests scheduled. You know, I'll come back. I'll let you know for sure. I'll just confirm my calendar. You know, I've been busy. Did I mention I've been busy? I've been scheming off the air. I've got so many schemes. I'm laying so many plans that hopefully you'll all be very, very proud of us very, very soon.
Can confirm.
Oh, that I'm scheming? I'm a full-time schemer, part-time radio host. Come back, more Devil's Advocates, hour two of the hump or unhump day edition, as the case may be, is next.